Hello and welcome to Hawkeye Nation. This is HawkCast, your Iowa football, basketball, and recruiting podcast brought to you by GoIowaAwesome and Rivals.com. I am your recruiting analyst and host, Elliot Clough, at Elliot Clough on Twitter. Joined as always by publisher Adam Jacoby and managing editor Ross Binder here on this Wednesday evening. You'll probably be listening on Thursday morning. Maybe not. Maybe you're on YouTube and watching us here Wednesday night after it's produced. But if you are on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button, drop a like, drop a comment so we know you're listening, what you're thinking as well. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you might be listening but not subscribed. Hit that subscribe button, leave a rate and review. We appreciate it very much. You're tuning in today to hear about Brendan Sullivan, former Northwestern quarterback who committed to Iowa out of the portal today following his official visit. He is no longer a Wildcat. He is a Hawkeye. Of course, we'll be talking with Matthew Shelton from Wildcat Report as well in the latter half of this podcast. But we're going to give our initial reactions from the commitment today. Is it an insurance policy? Is he potentially going to be Iowa's starter over Cade McNamara next season? We got a lot to talk about here in the next half-ish hour. So, Ross, I'm going to start with you. We saw the commitment, we got the article. Everything's out there. What are your initial thoughts with the commitment by Brendan Sullivan to Iowa? Because we kind of knew it was going to happen, right? Like we had a really good idea. Premium subscribers did too, of course. But just initial thoughts on this addition, what it means in adding him to the roster in Iowa City.
Yeah, I think my main reaction, or my definitely my first reaction, is relief, because the quarterback situation was really uncertain after spring. There's, Deacon was gone. And it was Cade who didn't get to practice, and Marco, and not much else. And it just wasn't a good situation to be in heading into the season, especially when Iowa has so many other things kind of locked and loaded for 2024. The defense, the tight ends, the running backs, a lot of guys back on offensive line. Hopefully the performance is better there. But quarterback was a big question mark, and that's the probably last position you want to have big question marks at. And I think adding Sullivan answers a lot of those questions. You asked, is he an insurance policy? Is he the next starter? And I would say maybe both. I think he is definitely an insurance policy. Like that's not, not even a question. He can definitely back up Cade and give them a much better option if something happens to Cade or Cade's recovery is slow or another injury. Knock on wood, that doesn't happen. He's a much better option than Iowa had with Deacon last year, or would have with throwing Marco into that position this coming season. Because from what we've seen from Marco in the bowl game in spring practice, he's not ready for that level of play on at a consistent basis. And I think there's also a real chance that he might have be able to take the job from Cade, because Cade, I hope the recovery is going well for Cade, and we'll see how it's going this summer. But he didn't play the last two thirds of the season. He's played very sparingly the last couple seasons. His experience with this offense is, more theoretical than practical right now. He's done some drill work, but he hasn't really been in the mix. And obviously Sullivan hasn't either, but he's played a lot more real football over the last 2 years than Cade has. And the offense in Northwestern's has probably some more similarities to what Lester's going to be running at Iowa than what McNamara was running last year at Iowa, for sure. So, I think it's an exciting addition. I don't think there were any amazing home run pickups out of the portal for quarterbacks right now. So, but I think they got one of the best available options, and an option that fits well with what their team needs, what Tim Lester wants and can work with. So, yeah, I think it's a very solid, strong addition to the roster and to the quarterback position.
Ross, you practically took the words right out of my mouth, because not only was this one of the best options that was, available just in terms of just objective X's and O's and talent and production on the field, but he's going to be a great fit, and he's got the connection, the pre-existing connection to Tim Lester. And don't discount that part of his recruitment, because Elliot, you remember the introductory press conference that Lester had with the press, and his big thing was it wasn't all, just RPO, but it was RBO, relationship before opportunity. That's a pre-existing relationship that Lester had, knew he could count on it, and so he already knew what he was going to get more or less with Sullivan, just in terms of personality, in terms of fit, and how that's going to work. So that's really going to ease the transition into the Iowa QB room. And yeah, ultimately, this is a move that brings up the floor of what Iowa's offense can be, presuming, at least one of McNamara and Sullivan's healthy throughout the course of the year. As long as one of them is on the field, I think that floor comes way up compared to where, I mean, let's just say it, Deacon Hill was running the offense last year.
So one thing that really sticks out here in terms of what they were able to get out of the portal at the quarterback position, like you mentioned, Ross, is experience. Because you can go into the portal and get a guy who's been in college football for a year, for 2 years, maybe even that has a connection to Tim Lester, like we wrote about in a couple guys, I think Virginia Tech transfer and in an Indiana transfer, whatever it was a couple weeks ago. When Deacon entered the portal, that had a connection to Tim Lester at Western Michigan, but they may have played a few snaps in their college football career, nothing meaningful. You get a guy like Brendan Sullivan, who's won games at the Big Ten level at Northwestern, who had a good season last year, even though I remember coming on this podcast and saying Northwestern's going to suck. I think their win total was at 1.5 and they won 8 games. I was like, they might not even win a game. They could lose to Howard. And then what did they do? After a 1-11 season with a new coach, they went out and they won 8 games. And two of those games are thanks to Brendan Sullivan, who has shown some really encouraging things on film. Is he going to light the world on fire? Is he going to win a Heisman? No. Is he even one of these, former Ohio State quarterbacks that people were talking about for a while that never even entered the portal? No. But what he is exactly what Adam said. He's a floor raiser. And that's what you needed out of your second string quarterback that you brought in out of the portal at Iowa. You didn't need a guy who was going to be, immediately better than Cade. You didn't need a guy who was going to be first string right off the bat, though it could happen with what Brennan's been able to do. You both look like you had something to say.
I'll make it as quick as possible here, but let's also remember that Cade's presence sort of affects the way that Iowa can recruit a QB, because Sullivan is coming into a situation where there is already an incumbent starter. Now, granted, it's a guy who's thrown 115 passes in college games over the last 2 seasons combined, and so there is the obvious question mark with his health. But Elliot, like you wrote about, Iowa has already invested in McNamara as the starter. So the amount of guys that are going to want to come into a situation like that, especially with a brand new OC, is not that great. And so in this situation, I think Sullivan is just about the best outcome that Iowa could have gotten. Ross, what do you have to think?
Yeah, I agree with that. I was just going to back up Elliot's experience point and getting that and how important that was because, you mentioned the quarterbacks you can get that have, been in college 1 or 2 years, don't have many snaps. We saw that last year. That was Deacon. He'd been in college a year, maybe two, didn't have a lot of snaps, came to Iowa. And then unfortunately, he got thrust into a major role, starting quarterback role for 2/3 of the season. And the results were they were what they were. I don't think we need to we don't need to go over them in any depth. We've done that a lot over the last 6 months. So yeah, getting a quarterback that can avoid that, that has that experience, that can raise the floor, like you said, is a big help, I think, for the offense.
There was so much time and energy spent by Kirk Ferentz last year in the press conferences, essentially making excuses. They're valid excuses, but it was a lot of, hey man, Deacon Hill has not had a whole lot of opportunity to grow as a QB. And like, yeah, but he's also the guy that you have to depend on for 10 starts last year. And now, at the very least, I don't think Iowa fans are going to have to hear nearly as many excuses coming out of the head coach's mouth this season.
The other thing that we have to talk about here regarding Sullivan is, in addition to his experience, mobility, right? He's not Michael Vick. He doesn't have to be. But with an offensive line that, yes, is experienced but has struggled, he's going to come in and be able to evade the pass rush, unlike a hampered Cade McNamara that we saw at the beginning of the season last year, and Deacon Hill, who looked like he was running in molasses every time he took off, which again, we don't need to rehash that too much. But Sullivan, especially in this RPO scheme, that extra mobility is important. I don't think he's quite the speedster as Marco Lines, but he is more mobile. And that threat is important in this RPO offense. And his completion percentage is great. I mean, a lot of the yards that he put up in like his highlight game, which was against Maryland, I think he had 269 yards or something like that, career high, two touchdowns, no picks. A lot of that was yak yards after catch, right? But he got it where it needed to be in order that his receivers could make a play happen, right? And like personnel wise, I'm gonna go ahead and say that Iowa's maybe not receiving core, but tight end group and running backs are gonna be better than Northwestern 9 times out of 10, right? So you get that ball to Caleb Johnson in space, you can trust him to go make a play. You can get that ball to Luke Lachey. He's a guy that 10 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, whereas I think, again, Deacon, I think he had 5 touchdowns to 8 interceptions in his 1 year, however many games is the starter at Iowa. So this is a situation where Sullivan can be trusted with the football through the air and on the ground in terms of adding it's an added dynamic that wasn't there last year in a different offense, and now it is there in a new and better offense.
And that is going to really help the offensive line against these teams like, the Penn State, Chop Robinson, thank goodness, is off in the NFL where he belongs now. But it's the Big Ten. There's always going to be great defensive linemen and against pretty much anybody you play. So the fact that defenses can't just pin their ears back and send 9 or 10 guys at this offensive line is going to make their job incrementally easier. And then by, comparison, or not by comparison, but then by extension, it's going to make somebody like Sullivan's or McNamara's job easier too. So, yeah, all of that is just a tension reliever for this offense. And presumably the doldrums of 2023 won't be repeated now.
Yeah, I just wanted to piggyback on the mobility point, and I think adding Sullivan is, continuing the trend that we've seen among the quarterbacks Iowa's added in recent years, and just the move, Kirk Ferentz finally, belatedly, probably, moving away from those statuesque quarterbacks, pocket passers that had characterized Iowa's offense for several years. Like, Cade was a step in that direction. I mean, at this after 2 knee injuries. Probably not as definitely not as mobile as he was in Michigan, but Marco, Reaser, Sullivan, and now our new friend Sullivan. Other we got a lot of
Yeah,
Sullivans.
two Sullivans. Yep.
yeah, and I mean, so I think that's just a good trend for the offense. Like, you need some mobility out of the quarterback position. You need them to be able to, escape a pass rusher a little bit. You need them to be able to have that threat that they're going to run the ball a little bit so that, like Adam said, they're not just packing that box and making it impossible to do anything on offense. So.
And if you want a proof of concept here, just look at the Big Ten championship game. Like, how many times did JJ McCarthy extend plays, get a first down just by using his mobility and getting away from that Iowa pass rush? Because, man, that Iowa defense played their butts off against the Wolverines. And if it were somebody like McNamara or Deacon Hill or one of these, I believe it was John Miller called it concrete shoes football or concrete shoes quarterbacking guys. If it was somebody like that, that outcome might have been different, but just the ability to extend, to improvise in open space. I mean, again, there is a difference between JJ McCarthy and Brendan Sullivan, granted, but that will help, again, keep defenses from pinning their ears back and saying, we know exactly where the quarterback's going to be in 5 seconds. Let's go there.
And yes, exactly, which leads into my point of his ability to, well, extend plays, right? Like his ability to extend plays and go off script is something that Iowa has been atrocious at in previous seasons. They go off script. We see what we saw against Michigan. We see what we saw against Tennessee. We see what we saw against Penn State. If they get taken off script, it's done. Done.
You
And
saw
that,
it against Northwestern too at
right.
Wrigley
Yeah.
Field.
That margin of error is so razor thin with what personnel was there and what happened last season with the offense. And this, if Sullivan's on the field, adds just a hair and just enough where you feel like there's a little bit more of well, it's like what I said, it's an added element. It's an ability to get the defense on their heels. And you know what happens when the defense is on their heels? You said it. They don't stack the box. They get afraid of what's going to happen deep. And Sullivan has shown that in his highlights. He can throw the ball deep. He's not a gunslinger. He's not going to launch it 70 yards like Deacon Hill, but he doesn't have to. Adam, like you had something to say there too.
The one last thing that I'll add to that is if Sullivan were coming into a Brian Ferentz offense, I think the problems would stay the same because he's a guy that when he was at Northwestern had an issue with holding the ball in the pocket too long, like too long to be able to actually make a productive play. Took a lot of sacks. I think it was Iowa Analytics on Twitter mentioned that he was like one of the longest ball holding guys in the pocket. With Tim Lester, now there's going to be a guy who's going to be able to teach him some better mechanics, who's going to be able to teach him better timing, because we've already heard Lester talk about, like we're running these plays because of, this guy's drop back patterns. Like that is sort of the level of attention to detail that has been historically missing in Iowa City for, I don't know, the last 10 years plus or so. And so now, at the very least, this is an opportunity not only for Elliot, like you said, the backup QBs to develop, but Sullivan can develop and sort of, smooth out those, shortcomings too, and really, add some polish to his game, because I think that's sort of missing from what he was accomplishing at Northwestern. And when you have a guy that has these, threats or tools at his disposal, being able to refine those will also, once again, really help this offense perform. I think he's got a chance to do that with Lester coaching him. I don't think he would have had that chance under Brian Ferentz.
So you mentioned that analytics post. We got a question from Waterloo Chaz on the premium board, who first asked, can he punt or block? Everybody needs to appreciate this at Iowa. That was a joke. Good one, Waterloo Chaz. He followed it up but said, can he avoid pressure without making bad throws? Where does that fall into that analytics mention you put there, Adam?
Well, I mean, that's really the $100,000 question, isn't it? Because ultimately, you want guys who are not only able to, improvise and extend plays, but also to, make the right decisions once they're there. And so that is really going to be the task that Lester has in front of him to develop Sullivan, Brendan Sullivan, at this point. That's the open question, and that might be the difference between success or failure for this team. If Cade McNamara isn't under QB, or if it's 2025, we want to make sure that's out there too.
So when we're looking ahead to next season, something that I said was in a premium article that you can check out on iowa.rivals.com is that this definitely doesn't fix all of Iowa's offensive problems, right? It does raise that floor, but it doesn't, send them into the stratosphere of like a guaranteed playoff spot. We're talking about what takes them to that next level. We're still talking about an X receiver or just a receiver that can come in and help, right? Are you guys on board with that?
Ross, I've talked a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You nailed it, Elliot. Like, he raises the floor, still questions, still problems, that need to be addressed. I think, like you mentioned, wide receiver is a big one. An X receiver would be ideal, but I think with Iowa and receivers, like they're in a beggars can't be choosers mode right now. Like they just need guys that can catch the ball and make some plays. And, you know, if they can do that, fit them where they fit, do the best you can. You're not going to get that prototypical, you know, X receiver that can really, you know, elevate you. That guy's just not coming to Iowa right now. He needs to see more from the Iowa offense, I'm betting, before he's willing to do that. So just, you know, but they need some dudes. They need some guys that can step up and help out there. And the other thing is, you know, the offensive line has got to be better, and they're probably not going to add to that unit through the portal, doesn't look like right now. So that's going to have to be internal improvement and, you know, another year of experience, better health, hopefully. You know, that health was not great for those guys last year, and that certainly contributed to the struggles we saw. But they're going to have to be better. And but the receivers, yeah, that's a big one, Elliot. You've been tracking that for us for a while now, and that's just going to have to be a continued tracking effort through the summer, I'm guessing.
I did see a headline that Texas A&M had picked up a receiver, sort of a bigger receiver out of the portals. This Jake Bostic guy. Why didn't Iowa try to get him? And any of you guys know? But in seriousness, though, I think this was a situation where Bostic really could have stepped in and made a difference for Iowa. But Ross, like you said, these receivers also, you know. They're not dumb guys. They understand where, you know, their path to success is. And until Iowa's offense, whether it's under Ferentz, if you want to put it at the feet of Ferentz or whoever, at some point, Iowa's offense has to show that wide receivers are there to do more than just block on the outside.
In my opinion, on this front, and then we should probably wrap up so we can move on to my conversation with Matthew Shelton. In my opinion, regarding going and getting a wide receiver, obviously you want somebody who is going to fit, who you can say is going to make plays. Where Iowa's at right now in terms of their receiving core, in my opinion, if you see a guy, it's not, it doesn't need to be a 1 year mercenary, right? If that's what it happens, great. But with the quarterback situation, it was go and get a guy that's had some experience. That's what you want. But how likely is it? I mean, you just lost Raylan Sharp to Fresno State, right? Like, if you can go get a guy from maybe another P5 program, P4 program that has had minimal experience, that has some potential, like you got with Caleb Brown, right? If that's what you can get him to stick around for a few years, and he just needs an opportunity on a team that's kind of depleted at the wide receiver spot, you take it. If it is a 1 year mercenary, if it's a 2 year guy, fine. But if you can get a guy that's gonna be around for a little while, a la Caleb Brown, but maybe you don't have to pay him as much as you paid Caleb Brown out of the collective, great.
Well, I'll just throw this out there. Iowa did try to take that step last year with Seth Anderson. So whatever it was that sort of moved Anderson off the field, and his drop rate was really, really bad. So there's more development that he has to do coming out of, you know, like there was a lot of hype coming out of or for him coming out of Charleston. I think it was Charleston Southern, right? He had a lot of hype, probably most likely. Some of it was undue. Some of it was probably also that he was not really walking into a situation where he was set up for success, whether it was coaching, scheme, whatever, or you know, also probably a lot of the growth that he had to do. But he really, like, this is an opportunity for him to prove that he belongs at the Big Ten level. The opportunity's there. Bostic's out of his way now. And for as much as Lester and the Iowa offense really want to, you know, run a something that resembles a 21st century passing offense for once, this is his chance. So as much as, you know, we're talking about guys like Wegen and Caleb Brown, Flipper Jr., the nickname that he hates and that I'm not going to use again after this moment here, this is his point.
Nickname is Big Flip, by the way, not
Big
Flipper Jr.
Flip. I love it. I love
Big
it. Well,
Flip. I
Big
believe
Flip.
that's, isn't that what Nico dubbed him last year? Big Flip. I think
I'll
that's what
take
it
it.
is.
Well, he needs to big flip the script real quick because his opportunity's here if he's good enough for it.
It is. Again, up next, we're talking with Matthew Shelton from Wildcat Report. Talk a little bit more about what Sullivan's tenure at Northwestern was like. So stick around for that. We will be right back. See you next time, Adam and Ross. Now joined by managing editor from Wildcat Report, Matthew Shelton, on this Wednesday evening. Brendan Sullivan, of course, committing to Iowa out of the transfer portal, former Northwestern quarterback. Matthew, thanks for joining us, first of all. Secondly, you heard the news, and there, of course, was some rumblings that Sullivan may end up at Iowa pretty much right when he entered the portal, at least for us, considering that Western Michigan connection to Tim Lester. So it wasn't exactly a surprise getting the news today after his official. But when you first started to hear about Iowa and Brendan Sullivan being connected, what were your thoughts?
I'll admit I was a little bit surprised to kind of see kind of a lateral, if not positive, move for Brendan Sullivan, just because I was very fortunate to have an interview with our head coach David Braun, and there was not a lot of surprise on the staff for his decision to enter the portal. Part of that being for his place on the depth chart after spring ball and the program looking to bring in a transfer of their own. So to see him leave was maybe not a surprise, but I think a lot of people were surprised to then see him move from Northwestern to the team that won the division last year.
So we got a question from one of our premium subscribers, Wasow Hawk, regarding the depth chart and Brendan Sullivan in that position. I actually exchanged some messages with Louis, publisher Louis Vacare, who was previously a guest for us in the fall to preview the Iowa Northwestern game, that he had thought that Brendan was kind of locked to, at least assuming going into August and fall camp, that he would be the starter. Was that not your presumption? Or I guess, what do you think about him and his position in that on the depth chart? And I guess, did it take Northwestern off guard? Or yeah, Northwestern off guard. By the sounds of it, it didn't.
Yeah, I think it really took fans off guard how, I'm trying to think of the right word. I guess I don't know if all right is the right word, but kind of how all right the staff was with him leaving. I think going into the season, going into next season, he was the only quarterback kind of coming in that had real consistent starting experience last season. He stepped up, went 2-2 in that four games in the middle of the season. That by all logic, he's the presumptive starter. But new offensive coordinator coming in, and Zach Lujan prefers more of a running quarterback. And at the open spring practice, which is kind of Northwestern's spring game stand-in, I want to say that was on April 20th. Jack Lausch was the one taking a lot of the snaps, which a lot of people were very surprised by. But maybe it was, a lot of people thought, well, maybe it's just give the ones a few drives or a few play sets and then let the backups in. But then Sullivan chose to transfer out, and so it looked like that was just kind of the way that that was distributed. And with the way that it was on roster, the staff valued what Lausch could bring with his legs more. That said, they still believe strongly that their plan is to bring in a grad transfer to start at quarterback for next season.
So when you talk about the mobility of Lausch, it's funny for Iowa having Cade McNamara, who is now two surgeries back to back years with the leg surgeries, and then Deacon Hill, who we just talked about off mic, that it was the Deacon Hill Brendan Sullivan duel at Wrigley Field
Oh,
last year,
yeah.
both got to witness. To the Iowa fan base and folks like me who have covered Iowa for a little while now, Sullivan is a astronomical leap in terms of mobility. I mean, it's not, the expectation isn't for him to be Michael Vick, right? But he does bring a certain level of mobility to the field, right?
He does, yeah, and that's kind of one of the things I want to mention is that he does have the ability to scramble But I do feel sometimes the in terms of production, now it is also a little difficult in college because sacks still count against rushing yards. But for instance, in the Iowa game, I want to say he had in 2022 he had, I want to say, more than 50 rushing yards. Had three games of 50 plus rushing yards in his 12 appearances at Northwestern. He does have that ability, but he's not a game breaker with his legs, if that's the description. But he absolutely proved that he can throw on the run and make plays with his legs. And it is also tricky that I think some of that designed run nature can be limited by quarterback availability. You know, when you only have one or two quarterbacks on roster who you feel comfortable playing, and one goes down, you're not going to be running a lot of read option with the only guy you got left. So I think in that respect, maybe his rushing totals were a little lower than they could be. But also, it does go to show that while he has shown that with those 50 plus yard games, the staff did also like Lauscher's legs and running ability more this spring.
So let's talk about his ability to throw the ball. From what I've been able to tell, he's not a guy that's gonna, launch it deep by any means, but he has the ability, he has the accuracy to throw it, whatever, 25, 30 yards, right? Not exactly put it on a rope or anything like that either, but a guy that is pretty accurate, 69% career completion percentage, nice. And was that scheme, I guess, or because in his career high game or one of his best games was against Maryland, whatever, 250 yards passing, something like that. It seemed like it was a lot of yards after catch. Is that kind of how things were designed last year? Is that where he finds his success? Is that why his completion percentage is so high? Like, what do you, I mean, is he a good decision maker? 10 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, right? Like, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if I would necessarily, or I don't want to be too harsh and say like he's not a good decision maker. I mean, I don't know if I've necessarily seen him dissect the defense outside of the Maryland game, but I do think a key point for him as starter in those four games last season was he was very secure with the ball. And I want to say he had only one or two of his interceptions came in that four game stretch, and he. Maybe it wasn't lighting it up in terms of passing yards or touchdowns, but he was never throwing Northwestern out of the game. And that's exactly what the team needed to stay alive and to eventually get bowl eligible. And that also kind of fits into Iowa's mentality of, I think he definitely can be a more value add, but he's very much proven that he can be secure with the football. For Maryland, yeah, there were definitely some big plays from his receivers, and never really a huge deep ball thrower, but also not necessarily a lot of great options in the Mike Bajakian offense. You know, there's a reason that Northwestern made their own change in offensive coordinator this offseason, and that was who Sullivan was playing under the past 2 seasons.
So what we talked about in the first half of the podcast was him being, and based on what you just said, I think you're going to agree with this. We considered Sullivan to be a floor raiser, maybe not necessarily, shooting the ceiling up to playoff contention, like anything crazy like that, but a guy that you can trust to put on the field to make right decisions. To not, like you said, turn the ball over, to not be Deacon Hill, right? Like you can say Cade McNamara, of course, he has the injury history. That's, we don't want to beat a dead horse. But in a scenario where Cade wouldn't be playing, Sullivan's a guy that you can put out there and you can trust he won't lose a game for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's really phenomenal McNamara insurance, both in terms of if you were to be hurt again, I mean, God willing that that's not the case, or if maybe in a recovery circumstance that maybe Sullivan's starting the first few games as he works back into it. But I mean, he another thing is, and credit to him, is that he stayed locked in and dedicated through both of the past 2 seasons. He did not enter either season as the starter, and I guess this is kind of maybe a little bit of a backhanded compliment, but he lost a quarterback battle at the start of both of those seasons, and halfway through, both on performance in 2022 and then due to Ben Bryant's injury in 2023, he went in as starter and he was prepared and competitive both times. I mean, in 2022, he didn't win a game, but there were a lot of other factors, and that was a team that was really struggling outside of quarterback. But especially in 2023, you know, a lot of guys off their second loss in the quarterback battle will throw in the towel in this day and age, start looking in the portal right then and there. You know, he really stayed in the game, and that's a credit to him. And I think he would do the same thing at Iowa. And I think he's really strong number two option at quarterback, which is a rare thing to have in this day and age.
Especially at Iowa.
Especially now. Again, I mean, throwing stones from a glass house at Northwestern talking about that, but.
Now, I was actually going to ask you about that in terms of what kind of teammate is he in that regard of being your number two quarterback? Because if he's a guy like I just wrote in my Three Thoughts article following his commitment of like considering Cade's injury history and his start to 2023, he wasn't very good. Like, this might be a scenario where you bring in Sullivan and he might be competing for this first string job, whether Cade's healthy or not. In a scenario like that, because he was sort of your one and a half, two, in terms of the quarterback position at Northwestern, how does he conduct himself? You mentioned him being ready to go. Like, what did you see from him in that one and a half, two spot as a quarterback? Because what you don't want bringing in a guy like this is to divide a locker room, and this locker room likes Cade a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I can't give you any first person experience there. Northwestern had closed practices all of 2023 pretty quickly on in the process, so I don't have any anecdotes for you there. I will say that I think a lot of the wide receivers and other targets got along very well with him. I think they really loved Ben Bryant last season, but I also think that when Brendan was coming in the game, they didn't necessarily see or feel that they were now out of games or that plays were taken out of a playbook. I don't think Brendan has the top level arm or the ceiling that Bryant does as a pocket passer, but you could tell, at least on the offensive side, that there was no concern or drop off when Brendan was checking in. And also, as far as I know, I mean, a lot of that is just public comment or talking to them after practice. So that's not always going to be perfectly behind the scenes or perfectly what's going on, but both Ben and Brendan were very complimentary of each other and seemed like a very supportive dynamic between them even after coming in and having to battle for the starting job. So I think in that sense, I think he's pretty well liked. And again, anytime he went out as a starter, he competed hard and his team competed hard for him.
So when we're looking at, I don't, yeah, I mean, you're not part of Iowa Twitter, right? Like, what I can tell you is the fan base is really excited about adding him. And I think it's just because of how things went last season, right? Like, it couldn't really be any worse. And to add a guy like floor raiser, like Brendan Sullivan, the fan base is really excited. And like you mentioned, you don't necessarily know the personnel at Iowa as much as folks that follow the team. But I guess I don't really know how to phrase this question better than like, is that excitement warranted? Like, all things considered, would you say?
I would say probably watch and find out. I think they're probably pretty high on him. I mean, this is, I mean, your defense last season was absolutely phenomenal, but it's been a little surprising to me to see a fan base and a coaching staff be so excited about a quarterback that scored 7 points and barely cracked 100 total yards against them. Now again, Iowa's defense is the group where that can happen, and you could still be a very high level quarterback. But to me, I would be happy to have him at Iowa. I would say, as an Iowa fan, I would be happy to have him backing up McNamara if McNamara is healthy. If Sullivan was going into the season as a starter, I think that would be, I don't, again, I don't know if concern's the right word, but I will say he is 2-6 as a starter in the Big Ten. He's two now. The other four, some a lot of those are garbage time, but like he's 2-10 in appearances as a quarterback. He is kind of, as you said, he's a floor raiser archetype guy based on his body of work. Now he has a summer to work on it, to integrate with the staff, and the Iowa supporting cast has a lot going for it that Northwestern's didn't always when he was there, whether that's in term of offensive line play or NFL caliber talents at like tight end or certain situations like that. Northwestern didn't have that to throw to. So maybe that will also contribute to him potentially bringing more to the table. But if he was heading into the season as the starting quarterback, I don't know if the level of excitement should really be there.
Okay, be prepared for some hate mail. Yeah,
Listen, I have nothing against the guy. I just think, again, based on the body of work, I just don't think that that's I don't know if excitement would be where I'd be at. But again, if he's a number two, like a spot starter, I think that's great. And the idea of having him and McNamara, if they're both healthy, like absolutely in a position to compete at a high level if he's starting every game. I would just wait and see on that.
don't rain on the parade quite yet. So we will see how it goes. Matthew Shelton from Wildcat Report joining us here on this episode of Hawkcast. We will wrap it up there. We appreciate you tuning in. If you're listening on YouTube, watching on YouTube, make sure that you drop a like and a comment. Hit that subscribe button if you're not subscribed yet. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, hit that subscribe button there as well. Leave that rate and review. It helps us out and it makes us very happy. Again, my name is Elliot Clough at Elliot Clough on Twitter, joined by Matthew Shelton talking a little Brendan Sullivan on this episode of Hawkcast. And for now, we will see you next time.